produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Well, hello to all the listeners. It's my pleasure to be sending you greetings. Warm greetings from South Africa. It's pretty warm over here. I know it's a little bit cold over there, but it's a privilege and a pleasure to be able to share with you today. And today I wanted to share on the subject matter of relationships. If you're out there, I want you to say the word relationships with me. So relationships are very important to us. God never meant for us to live isolated lives, but he has given us destiny helpers, and he has created us as people who must relate with one another. And one of the things that will make us win is when we come together in unity, come together as a team, whether it's in ministry, whether it's as a family, however it is. But unity is a powerful weapon to ensure victory on our behalf. And one of the things that I've seen in this season is that relationships are being very, very negatively impacted. As a pastor, and I'm sure there's so many pastors out there, men and women of God, who are experiencing the same thing. Relationships are under a great attack in this season. I don't think in my few 35 years of ministry, I can ever say that I've had to do as much counseling as I have had to do in this season. People are coming out and, just offending one another, attacking one another. There's a great deal of hostility out there. There's a great deal of anger. There's a great deal of emotionalism and a lot of hatred out there. And it is impacting on relationships, on marital relationships, on friendships, on relationships within the body of Christ. And so today, I really wanted to talk about relationships and talk about how are we supposed to act and how are we to handle the attack that is on relationships in this season. One of the scriptures I love the most is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 32, and it talks about the sons of Issachar and the fact that they knew the season, and not only did they know the season, but they knew how to respond. They had a strategy for responding. So they knew the season, and they knew what strategy to employ or to deploy. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in this season and why it's happening and how to respond in this season to protect our relationships and to make sure that we fulfill our purpose and mandate in God. Because there's no way that we will fulfill purpose as a single, isolated human being. We need one another, we need each other, and God has ordained relationships. The first thing I wanted to talk about is coming from the scripture, John 10:10. And this sets out not only the mandate of the devil, but it sets out the mandate of Jesus. And we know that this scripture tells us that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, in complete direct opposite, in the same scripture, John 10:10, we learn that the devil has a mandate as well. And his mandate is to steal, his mandate is to kill, and his mandate is to destroy. And so we need to first and foremost understand that this is his job description, it's his mandate, to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the ways that he will effectively be able to fulfill his own mandate is through stealing, killing, and damaging relationships. So he's disrupting the unity of families. He's disrupting unity in ministries, within the church environment. And as he does that within the work environment, the more he can disrupt that unity by bringing suspicion, bringing deception, the more he can do that, the easier it makes his own job. So he really is going all out to steal relationships, to kill them, to destroy relationships. I believe that some of you out there may have probably, you know, broken relationships. There's some relationships out there that that you feel, you know, maybe the enemy has come in between just to now start destroying and stealing it and just really impacting negatively. Well, we're going to pray for relationships at this end. And any relationship that God has ordained, we're going to pray that God will bring it back together. Amen. Also, I wanted us to know that one of the things, as we were saying, the enemy uses relationships. He's destroying, attacking relationships as never before, sending out arrows out there to make sure that the unity in the families and within the body of Christ is destroyed, so that it will be so much more challenging for us to fulfill the mandate of the body of Christ. Now, we know that God tells us that we don't use the weapons of the world to fight. In fact, we are told that we have been given weapons that will pull down every stronghold of human reasoning and destroy every false argument. One of the greatest weapons that the enemy is using, the devil is using in this season, is the weapon of deception and false accusation. Concerning deception, we know that the devil himself is surrounded by deception. That is his modus operandi, his main way of operating. If you read scripture, it tells us that he walks around and walks about as a roaring lion. He's not really a lion, but he uses deception to create the impression that he is a roaring lion. And he will always try to counterfeit the image of Christ. We know that Christ is the real lion. He's described as the Lion of Judah. So the best that the devil can do is to counterfeit the image of Christ. He's not a lion, but he tries to be like a lion. He tries to enlarge himself, his appearance, his power, his capacity, and make it look like he's a lion when he's not. So he's very deceptive in that. He also tries to disguise himself as an angel of light. We know that he's no longer an angel. He was previously an angel, but now he represents the kingdom of darkness. But he now tries to deceive many of us by manifesting himself as an angel of light. So deception is part of who the devil is. It goes to his very core. It's his modus operandi. And as believers, we need to understand this, that he will be bringing every level of deception to try to confuse us, to try to derail us, to try to deny us, to try to do all sorts of things, take us out of mandate. And in John 8:44, again, if you read that scripture, it tells us that there is no truth in him. There's no truth in the devil. And it says that when he's lying, in fact, lies are his original language. That's what comes naturally to him. Most of us would have a mother tongue, and I would like to actually put it out there that lying is the mother tongue of the devil. And it, even that scripture describes him as a liar and the father of lies. So he is the originator of all lies. So I think we're now getting a little picture about who the devil is. He is deception himself, and he uses lies as a way of deceiving us, deceiving people in the world, deceiving members of the body of Christ even. And he uses also false accusation is another key weapon that he uses to try to derail and confuse us and take us out of our key mandate. We also learn that the devil is an accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12:10 describes him as the accuser of our brothers and sisters, and he accuses us day and night. That is his mandate. Every time you and I wake up, we need to understand this. As we wake up, He is looking for an opportunity. He is looking for some reason to be able to accuse us falsely. When we understand this, it's easier for us to respond unemotionally. And the challenge that many of us are having is that when we receive false accusation or when we're confronted with false accusation, we immediately want to respond emotionally. So we don't need to respond emotionally, respond spiritually. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal, but they're mighty in God, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds of every false argument that is raised against you. You don't respond by throwing stones. When the men that David was with, King David was with his men, wanted to stone him, he didn't respond by picking up stones and stoning them back. But it says that after a little bit of a moment of crying, he encouraged himself in the Lord. So what we need to do is not to respond in the same manner. I think we're getting a little bit of a picture around the season, what is happening. I believe in many nations, God is beginning to bring revival in many nations. I know in the southern Africa. And so the question arises to say, what do we do in this time, in this season, where the enemy is attacking relationships, he's attacking marriages, he's attacking relationships between parents and children, he's attacking relationships at work, he's attacking relationships in the body of Christ. You see that churches and assemblies are struggling to, flow and to survive because there's so much false accusation, there's so many arguments, there's suspicion, people are suspicious of one another. There's a whole range of things that are happening. I'm having to counsel people regularly, even pastors and ministers of the gospel, where there's lack of trust, suspicion, and all this because the enemy is throwing out deception and false accusation, lies. The lying spirit is out there. What do we do when we face this? The first thing I want us to know is that we must be aware of it. We must know that this is what's happening. And it's happening because in many nations, revival is about to break forth. And the enemy knows that one way of trying to delay or derail revival is to disturb the unity, because it was in Acts, and when they were in the upper room, that they were in one place, in one accord, in one language, waiting upon God. Unity is what draws the power and presence of God. Even in Psalms 133, it talks about unity and says that is where he not only commands the blessing, but where he releases his anointing. And so by disrupting that unity, the enemy knows that this is one way of ensuring that revival is either delayed or deterred. But in Jesus' name, we declare that we will be united as the body of Christ. Relationships will be restored. Relationships will be revived. Relationships will be resurrected in the name of Jesus. And so I just want to share again with you to say, what do you do if you're in a family situation and you see that the relationship is being shaken and has been disturbed and the enemy has brought all that he can to kill that relationship? First thing I want to say to you is don't react. You must respond. Do not react. And by reacting, I'm saying don't react in an emotional way. Don't allow your flesh to react. If somebody accuses you of something, if somebody is suspicious of you, or if somebody is provoking you, do not react in the flesh, but respond in the spirit. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the fruit of the spirit must be in us. And so the fruit that is described there in Galatians 5:22 and 23 talks about the need for us to have love, to have joy, to have peace, to have self-control is one of the very, very important fruit of the Spirit that we must inculcate in this season. So ask God to help give you self-control, kindness, peace, all of those things. Meditate on his word day and night. As you read his word first thing in the morning, that word, and speak that word, and speak Galatians 5:22-23 in you and confess it, that will begin to build the fruit in you. And as you begin to pray and worship God, the presence of God, staying in the presence of God, is what will ensure that the Spirit of God is built up in us And when you have the Spirit of God, you will manifest the fruit of the Spirit as well. So point number one, do not react, respond. Point number two, I want to encourage us to cross-check facts. I went to law school. I'm a trained lawyer, and, you know, we like facts. So please don't believe everything that you're told. Don't rush to believe everything that you've been told. Some things are factually incorrect, or some things may be factually correct but taken out of context. So cross-check facts, and also still be alert, be vigilant in the spiritual realm. Third thing we need to do is respond in prayer. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18, we are instructed to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So remain prayerful, and as you remain prayerful, you will be able to rejoice always, and you will also be able to give thanks. It's prayer that will enable us to be joyful, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when we are joyful, we get strength as well. And the fourth thing I would like to ask us to do, as we said, don't react. And so the last point I want to make in terms of how do we respond in this hostile environment is to say that pray as you pray, also ask Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to you. One of the key characteristics of Holy Spirit, he is a truth revealer. So as the enemy tries to bring in deception in your life, in your family, in your relationships, as he tries to falsely accuse you or any members of your family, pray and ask Holy Spirit to reveal the truth. He is the truth himself, and he's faithful to open up the eyes of our understanding to the truth. And so as we close out this session, I want to thank you, all you listeners, for listening to this girl all the way from South Africa. God bless you, and I just want to close out by praying and just saying, Father, we thank you for every relationship. And every relationship that has been ordained by you, Father, we thank you that no weapon that is formed or fashioned against any relationship consecrated and ordained by you shall prosper in the name of Jesus. We submit every relationship before you and thank you that you protect it. Thank you for covenant relationships. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that speaks better things, even on behalf of those relationships in the name of Jesus. We thank you for protection. Psalms 91, protection, we speak that protection over every relationship. Thank you for the shalom, peace, and wellness, Father, of who you are, to be released in families, in work relationships, in the body of Christ. And we thank you for shalom, peace. We walk in peace, we move in peace, we talk in peace, we work in peace, we worship in peace. And we thank you that you are Jehovah Shalom, God of peace. We bless you and give you the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Shimikot Ministries Radio Network. This is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia with our co-producer, Kayla Pajet. This is the voice to empower you, empowering you for your destiny. Please engage with us as we get into the authority of the Word of God, because this is meant to change your life.
Deal one on one with them all, one by one, so that all of us can understand what God wants to do. So the first one is the father and the child. Say that with me. Father
and child.
Number two is the potter and the clay. Say that with me.
The potter and the clay.
And number three is the sheep and the shepherd. Say
sheep and shepherd.
Number four, the vine and the branches.
The vine and the branches.
Number five, creator and creation.
Creator and creation.
Say it again.
Creator.
Number six, the head and the body.
The head and the body.
And the last one, the bride and the groom.
The bride and the groom.
Now, we are designed in our relationship with God to start understanding, we start like babies. We look up to him and see that picture there, you know, that you can put up for me, the picture of a father and a child. And it's very important that we understand what happens in our walk with him. That picture there is the father and a child. You can come up with different interpretations there, but the thing that I want you to understand, it's amazing for me, because the father doesn't stand up and expect the child to reach out to him. It's important that you get that as a child of God in your walk with God. Sometimes we find ourselves laying all these expectations that we put against God, and we think this is what is expected of us. Here, one thing that I wanted to know, the picture that I wanted to have about your God as a father is always stooping down. Did you want to say? Catch that, because that's very, very important. And I deliberately don't want to go deeper in this, because in the house we've got a child psychologist, Esther. When I teach this one here, I'm going to ask you, many of you don't know, that girl over there, that lady over there, she's a child psychologist, that one, very qualified. And I want us to make sure that she will help me preach this message, because I will be telling you the things we always say to our children that are unguarded. They grow up with them in adulthood, and oftentimes they shape their values, and we wonder why they are what they are. Things like, she's the cute one in the family. Good statement. We like saying that. Oh, he's the smart one of the family. All other kids are here. It's an innocent statement, but it's toxic. Because as you walk with God, you soon realize that that's a very, very important time. The reason why the devil likes to take advantage and make sure that they are abused and are vulnerable at this age, because he knows very well that at this age you are pliable, and the values that are being put inside your life at this stage, you are very fluidy. And once they are formed by the age of 7, you have heard what the Roman Catholics believe, that give me a child and you can take him once they are 7. Because once they are 7, I have built inside them things that will shape their life. Have you not found out that even after a person grows up, you can be older, oh yeah, I'm Catholic, even though they don't go to Catholic church. It is because if it is put at a very young age, it shapes them. And when they grow up with those values, either for the good or for the bad. Talking to the man yesterday, and I was saying, I find it shocking that substance abuse in Australia alone, 2019, they reported 9 billion spent on substance abuse. And I appreciated God more about this church, that we are intentional in making sure men and women are set free to live their God-given destiny. Amen. Can you imagine if we get them at that age and they grow with this? This nation will never be the same again. Amen. The devil tries by all means to get them. When you go in the third world in Africa, you'll find boys under the bridges sniffing glue. It is because if the devil can find them at a very young age, destroys their future forever. Someone shout, the devil is a liar. So you and I, you are the product of God's grace, and I thank God so much for you. When you come to Christ, it does not matter whatever they would have said about you when you were young in terms of your natural parents. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. It's important to understand, therefore, that journey. God is a father, and because he's a father, I'm a child. I love it, because the story that we talk about also, about the woman was caught in adultery. Remember that story in John chapter 8? The woman was caught in adultery. The Bible says, in the very act, Jesus does the same thing. They say, she is caught in the very act of adultery. They expect Jesus Christ to condemn. That's what we do. To judge. That's what we do. To blame. That's what we do. But oh, he follows that posture. He went down. And he started writing on the ground.
because it's the posture of your father. Whenever you fail, never think in your life he is up there looking at you for punishment. In fact, it's a good word for you to learn. God never punishes his children. He disciplines them. There's a difference. Do you get it? Punishment is from the devil. Discipline is from the father. Talk to me. So it's important that you understand that posture, that's what he did. It's the picture of the redemption story. He left glory. He came down all the way from the celestial soul. And he came down to humanity. Because whenever you and I come before him, it's never about our good works. It's not your righteousness. It's not your goodness. It's not you trying to please him. Because it's not your righteousness. It is the righteousness that was on Jesus Christ imparted on you. Somebody declare, I am righteous. But like I told you, I'm not preaching about that until Esther comes up here with me. No, she doesn't want to come up here, but I tell you what, she will. I'm going to give her a couple of weeks and don't let me do that. But what I want to talk to you about this morning, I want to talk to you about the second level. Once God looks at you and he says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, a process begins after salvation that I want every one of you to think about and always to remember. And that image is the image of the potter and the clay. The what?
The potter and the clay.
That time of the potter and the clay, you were a baby. And as a baby, you are looking up to your father, protection, provider, and it's everything. Actually, the Jewish people, I come here with some paraphernalia. The Jewish knew it very well. This is what they call the talith. It's a prayer shower. But when you go to Jerusalem, the wall of Jerusalem, you'll find them with their kids covered in this thing. This is what was called the closet. When Jesus talked about prayer, praying in the closet. And it is this thing. It is not the closet where we put the broom. I'm sure you know where we are. It is this, because in here, it talks about protection. Someone shout protection.
Protection.
It talks about provision. Someone shout provision.
Provision.
Because when they bring the Jewish fathers, when they raise their children under this protection, that is to do with the canopy that protects them from everything that is negative out there in the world. But they are saying, outside this canopy, outside this covering, out there, there will be people that will tell you are insignificant, you are not good enough, you are worthless, you have no value. But as I put you under this canopy, I am saying to you, I've got some words that are better that I need to tell you. You are valued. You are accepted. You are the daughter of the Most High God. You are the son of the Most High God. God loves you just the way you are. Keep on walking. Keep on trusting him, because God is working your work in your life. And because he began that work, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
But the potter and the clay speaks to something else different, because I want you to understand the intention or the purpose plan of the potter. The potter knows exactly what he has in his mind for the clay. So. This is the end product. Were in Japan with my wife a few years ago, and a potter gave us this. But because of my wanting to understand Jeremiah chapter 18, which I wanted to put up there, Jeremiah chapter 18, the first six verses, I wanted to understand the journey from the clay to this. I wanted to understand, because he said to me, when I was talking to me and my wife, he said, you can put hot water in this, it will not break. You can put whatever you want in this, because it has been tested. It has gone through all the pain necessary. So it will hold anything.
said, oh wow. He said, this one, people should know if you want them. This profile there, but it's really like a small. If you want, then you're going to come out. It's going to retain the heat of whatever you would have put there, but it's warm. It's going to retain because it's not just ordinary soil. Now it's clay. And that caught my attention. I said, what do you mean? He said, yes, because there's a difference between mud and clay. I said, no, you are talking to me. What are you saying? And I said, okay, let's go to the word of God and let's see what it says there. One, two, go, let's read together. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord said, arise and go down to the border side. There, keep going. Then I went down. And there he was. Mm-hmm. And the vessel was not in the hand of the potter. So he made again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to be. I've always loved that verse 4. And verse 4, for any verses that I want you to memorize, I want you to memorize that verse. But that verse there talks about your life, really. Amen. That verse there, the vessel that he made, not what you wanted to be. Because many of us, we get tired of life and get disappointed in life, and we all get messed up in life and in our thinking because we have an ideal image of what we believe we wanted to be. But I think I love the fact that the potter knows his intention.
Amen.
About Josh Moyo. He knows what I was supposed to be. And oh, it's a joy to live a life designed for you by the potter.
Amen.
I told you last time, didn't I? I think I told you this, grade 4, grade 5, grade 6 were the most terrible years in my primary school. Say why?
Why?
Say that again, why?
Why?
Because. From grade 4, my mom realized when I came with the report every time back home, it was saying, subject, good, but talkative. Good, but talkative. Mom will sit down here. When you go to school, you are not the teacher, you are the student. Mama did not know what's talking to the teacher. I can tell, few of you are getting it. Mama did not know what's talking to the teacher. That behind the talkativeness, there was a teacher in the making.
Yeah.
That's why when you walk with God, there are never losses and wins. With God, it's always wins. Because every stage of the way is walk with God. It's designed either to be a lesson or a win. That is why Romans 8 says, verse 28, all things work together for the good. I know you didn't like to go to the jail. You didn't like to go to the prison. You didn't like to find yourself engaging in drugs. But we would have lost opportunity to hear the testimony of Johnny and Amy of how God has saved their lives and that today they can build a family. It is because of their testimony that I can be encouraged. That no matter how low life has taken me, I can pick up myself and say, devil, if God did it for Johnny and Amy, if God did it for Phil, if God did it for Paul, if God did it for Mary, if God did it for Shelley, if God did it for America, if God did it for Edward, he will surely do it for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone is out here. Someone is out glory. Let's find him and say, very excellent result, but talkative. Those were very, very painful years. And I want to say to somebody, I do not know what levels they've given you. But I want to say to you, behind every negative level, there is something there that the devil doesn't want you to see. And if you look closely from the eyes of the potter, the vessel he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And I love the fact that no matter how far you think you can go, but you're always in his hands. Somebody saw that in his hands. But the devil would like you to think you're too far away from God. The devil would like you to think that it's over with you. The devil would like you to think that now you better kill yourself. Suicidal thoughts, and you get depressed, and you get all the stresses of life. But I'm here to say to you, you can never be too far away from God. Always in his hands. Am I talking to somebody?
Yeah.
The Bible says, it was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again. Somebody thought, my day is coming. I can't hear you. Shout it again. My again is coming. Some of you don't understand exactly what's happening around your life. You are in this place and in this valley of confusion. Some of you don't understand exactly what's happening. It's like you're in a blunder. Some of you don't understand. It's like you're on a roller coaster. It's like up and down, up and down, up and down. But I'm here to say to you, wait for the picture. Because at the end of it all, you can only get positives out of negatives.
Amen.
Because those who shoot with cameras, they will tell you.
Amen.
That positives start as negatives. And they put them in a dark place.
Amen.
It is from that dark place you come out the perfect picture. Somebody shout, my gain is coming. Shout again, my gain is on the way. Give God a finger of praise if you believe in
it. The Bible says, the vessel he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. I love that. When I come back the second time, I won't be a pastor, I'll be a prophet. I said, when I come back the second time, I don't know about me. I don't know about you. When I come back for the second time, I was a manager, but my coming back, I'll be a supervisor. Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You don't know my comeback, but my comeback, when I come back, I won't be what I used to be.
Yeah.
I won't sing the way you have been used to. You look at me and say, he's the one? Nah. It's Jesus. Nah. Why? Because people want you to remain at a particular level and stay there. But I thank God that when God takes a person, he takes you from where you are.
Yes.
That is why it's important, ladies and gentlemen, for you to understand the intention of the potter and the clay is not known by the clay. It is known by the potter.
Yes.
And I'm about to say a statement. Why is the intention of the potter is to bring out this perfect image? Problem he has, the clay is not always cooperative.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Yeah.
Problem is that the clay, when the potter goes digging it out, it's worthless. People are stepping on it. People are spitting on it. Am I joking?
Yeah.
It's worthless. When you look at it, has no value. It doesn't look like anything will come out of there. When you look at it, it really looks, it is just dust. It is just ordinary clay. But then he takes it and he digs it out. I want you to know today that some of you, God is taking you through a process. And when he takes you through the process, he's using this shovel to make sure that he digs out the gold that is in you. I'm about to say another statement. Tweet it, Johnny. I'm going to say a statement. You can either see dirt in gold or gold in dirt. Because many of us, we see always the negative in our people, the negative in our children. We always see the negative in our family members, the negative of the people. Yet you can choose that picture and you begin to see. I choose to see the good buried in the bad.
Amen.
Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
There is some goodness there. There is some sweetness there. There is something that is of great value that you do not see. Paul says it this way: what eyes have not seen,
amen,
what ears have not heard, the great and the marvelous things that God has prepared for you.
Amen.
I prophesy to you therefore that get yourself ready, because as you come back, your comeback is going to be greater, it's going to be brighter, it's going to be better than what you used to be. You are not in your yesterday, you are not in your past, you are not where the enemy wants you to be. Where you are going to is brighter and better than where you are coming from. Somebody shout yes.
Yes.
In the hand of the potter. When he digs it out, then he goes and put it in a drum. He takes the clay. He puts it in a big drum. And then he pours seawater in this drum. And he leaves it there for months. He leaves it there. Almost forgets about it. In that dark zone. Ha! He leaves it there. Comes, check it. Stares it. There's something that he's after. He's after the plasticity and the pliability, so that the more he does that, the clay begins to sift itself from the mud. What is the difference? There's a difference between the clay and the mud. Because clay, under heat, it then softens. But mud, under the same S-U-N, it hardens. Because what God wants of you, he wants you to go through the process so that the muddiness in you, the hardness in you, I'll never forgive them, resentment and bitterness, the hardness in you, particles fall away. The clay in you, you become pliable. That is why it says, for they that are led by the Spirit are children of God. Not those who are mud, because mud is hard, but clay gets softer. I pray for you today that even as you are in this big drum and you are being weathering, under this weather of this big drum, and the Lord is sifting out things, and when he brings you out, you'll be softer to hear the voice of God. Because, oh, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. In the world we are living in, there are many voices that are talking. And it's not every voice that is speaking in the spiritual. It's the voice of God. It's important for you to get this. Not every voice that is speaking in the spiritual world is the voice of the Spirit of God. Because the Bible says even the devil masquerades himself as an angel of light.
Amen.
Because it is possible to think that you heard from God and you did not hear from God.
Mm.
You actually heard from the devil.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Steve Fetchick said this, and it changed my life. He said, do you notice? We think when the devil comes, he's coming with his big fork and the tail, and we think actually, oh, without that, the devil, I can see you. The devil is smarter than that.
Yeah.
When he tempted Jesus, who?
Jesus.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
And please, if you look at yourself, you're not Jesus, all right? Yeah. When he tempted Jesus, here's what he did. Change these stones to bread, because it is written, you being the Son of God, you can do this. Devil is quoting scripture.
I get it.
I can get it if the devil come to me and ask me to do something that was bizarre out there. But what do you do if the devil is using the Bible to move you away from the Bible?
Yes.
That's how cunning he can be.
Yeah.
That is why if you are a child of God, you will be clever to read more and understand the Bible.
Hey, man. This once again is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia on our Western Standard Time with our co-producer Kayla Paget. This has been wonderful talking with you. May God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.